Please turn to Mark chapter 1. We're going to look at Mark chapter 1. We're going to start there for tonight. All right. This particular series that we're going to be starting this evening, I love my series, you know, I can't say everything that I can say in one lesson. So I start one and then have several things to say about it. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to start today. Something on evangelism. And I know I did a lot about this before Mayfest, but it seems like a good time to bring it up again. And this particular one is setting up a study. And then after this, we're going to start talking about the study itself. We're actually going to go through the studies that I use whenever I am talking to a prospect. And and that might be beneficial for you. It will help us, hopefully, talk about some of the basics that we have, that we are already familiar with. But it will also help us to teach others about those basics, because that's an important aspect of being a Christian and the Great Commission that we are all to follow. This particular one is the initial how to set up a study. And this will be a sort of a nuts and bolts series where we just look at the nitty-gritty and try to talk about how to do that with somebody. Now, the thing is, I realize I might not come up with everything, and every situation is a little bit different. So if you have a question, now of course this is a sermon setting, not a class setting, but if you have a question that you have that you want to bring up for the next time, you can text it to me later or tell me in some way, and I'll write it down and I can address it some other time, or perhaps right then if it's that crucial. But I can address it later for everybody else as well, because every situation is a little bit different, and very often you have to use your own judgment. Anything that I present up here is going to be the general rules that to follow. You have to use your judgment and to decide whether or not that's something you're going to do in that particular situation or not. So we are going to, one of the things that, like a skill like any other, evangelism is a skill like any other. So you've got to practice at it and work at it to get better at it. And in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, I think we have a similar situation here. Reading from there now. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." One of the interesting things, you know, if Art were here, he could tell you all that. And I'm sure we have some experienced and accomplished fishermen in here as well, but Art's much more vocal about it. If Art were here, he could tell you all the little things that he does to get the fish, to feed his worms, to get, you know, the bait and everything, and get everything situated so he could just, it would just be great at it. And, you know, the thing about it is, that is with any profession or any hobby that we might have, anything that takes a lot of effort to get to know about something, you know, there are all sorts of little ins and outs and things to do and things not to do, and that is the, and sometimes there's experimentation involved. You have to figure out what works best for you in certain situations, and that is the same with fishing as it is with any other skill. And the same is with evangelism. And the only way we're going to get, we're going to know what works best for us is through experience, to know, to help us figure these things out. But this lesson will give you some tips and tricks on how to figure some of those things out for yourself. Just little things here or there that often work for people. One of the things that we've got to recognize that this day and age is different than some times in the recent past. You see, people still need the gospel, but they don't see the need like they used to. You used to be able to just walk up to somebody and say, hey, would you like to have a Bible study? And they'll say, yeah, let's have a Bible study. And they'll go ahead and do it. Of course, I didn't live around that time. Maybe you did. And maybe that was a real thing. But it seems like a different universe today, because that's just not, the people don't see the need for that as much as they used to. Letha told me a while back about how quickly and easily, relatively speaking, that Gilbert was able to get Bible studies with people. And then I asked her, well, how long ago was that? It was a few decades ago. And that's how the world has changed in just a few short years. And so people are still in desperate need of the gospel. We talked about this morning about the fact that we've got so many people who are dying and committing mass shootings and things like that. Well, that's a change in culture as well. People are still needing the gospel, yet they don't see the need for it. And it's just amazing how blinded they could be. People just aren't willing to study the Bible like they used to be. That is a simple fact. And there are several possible reasons for this, which I won't get into. That's not the point of this lesson this evening. But it's a reality that we must, as the Lord's church, deal with if we are to be fishers of men. So we're going to look at three points in this particular lesson. The first one is we're going to look at the prospect. The second, we're going to go over how to talk to this particular person. And then finally, we're going to look at sealing the deal. All right? With any prospect that you have, your goal is going to be, let's get them into a Bible study. And there's a very good reason for that. Getting them into a Bible study shows them what the Bible says. It's more than just your opinion on something. It is what Scripture says. And it's much more difficult to get away from it when it's staring you in the face. And so, well, that is ultimately your goal. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. So, the first question, who should I talk to? Well, the easy answer is everybody. But we don't work that way, do we? There are some people who have a personality that can talk to anybody about anything. I don't think most people are like that. I think Sam is one of those people. He can talk to anybody about anything. I think most of us are not like that. We have, we just don't have that personality. We don't have that mindset. I knew a man who would walk up to a cashier at a grocery store and he would just say, God loves you. Or perhaps Jesus loves you. Something to that effect. And that would open up the door to talking about religious and spiritual things. Others, I know of some others who would just say, hey, I'm the preacher at such and such, and I'm interested. Would you like to have a Bible study? And just give them a card. And would you write down your address? And I can come by your house sometime this week, perhaps. Boy, man. Some people can get away with that. Some people can get away with it. They just have that personality where they just are, people just automatically trust them. Not everybody is like that. And so some people can work that way, but not everybody. So we've got to, one of the things that will help us is to narrow the field down a little bit. If we can focus our efforts on a few people, then that will benefit us greatly. We can win souls by the few as much as we can win them by the many. Here is a list of possible prospects. So the idea is to make a prospect list of people in your life. We have a list of possibilities that you can have that you can just jot these down, or maybe I can make a printout of this so you can have an idea of the type of people to talk to in your life. So if we just narrow it down to just a few at any given time, we can then focus our efforts on this. But of course, if an opportunity comes up, don't neglect it. You know, if you already have, if your limit is three people that you're trying to get into a study with, and somebody else starts talking to you about things, don't neglect that opportunity. Work on that. But, you know, most of us are creatures of you know, we're focused, narrowly focused on a particular thing. And so if we have these names on our mind, if we pray about these people, and we are actively searching for ways to bring up the gospel with them, actively searching for ways to talk with them about God's word, then we are more likely to do so because we've narrowed that field down considerably. Friends and family are often the most likely candidates. Someone with whom you already have some kind of relationship, and usually a good relationship. I know some people have friends and family who are like, who don't want to have anything to do with you. And that's certainly the case with me. So there might be, you know, you might not want to talk to them necessarily because you might turn them off. I know with my, when my brother was working on his wife at that time, he was the last person to talk to her about it because there's just, there's so much history there, and she just wouldn't listen to him. And then some people from the church talked to her and were able to get her to study, and she was eventually converted. So sometimes a relationship can sour things, but most of the time, if you have a friendship with someone, a relationship with someone, then they are more likely to be the kind of person to talk to. And here's some examples that I like to look at. First off, those in the pews. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm trying to work on those who come and visit with us and have done so sometimes for a while. And that's one thing, you know, work on the people in the pews. Especially if you're closer to them than I am, then that is a good thing to do, to try to have a study with them in that. That column on the right, someone who has recently experienced a huge change. Whenever someone has some kind of serious change in their life that is kind of a big deal, then they are typically more open to have some other change in terms of going to a different church or going to church in general, and they're more likely to open up in that way. And of course, if they have a death in the family, if they're going through a divorce or a separation, any other kind of marital problem, or marital reconciliation, you know, they're trying to find, they're working things out, and they want to find some place to worship that might be able to help them with their marital issues. All these things, a new baby, you know, a lot of people, if they have a new baby, they might not go to church themselves at that moment, but they might be thinking, I remember going to church when I was a kid, and I remember thinking it was a great thing, and I think that I want that same thing for my child, so let's try to actively seek out a church. And so that's another type of person. Same with new move-ins, someone or newlyweds, recent graduates, all these kind of people who've gone through some kind of major change in the recent past are good candidates. I have on there a recent military discharge on the left, and I should have put it on the right, but didn't have room. Anyway, so there are all these different kinds of people that would be great people to talk to. And then there are people on the left side, someone who's visited in the last 3 months, someone who's ready for something better, someone who might be lonely. It's one of the great things about the church, isn't it? Is that one of the things I love, whenever I've been traveling or whenever I've moved to a new place, I find the church and I have an instant family. That's a beautiful thing. And we can help provide that for people who are lonely and looking for something. Someone who might not be happy with the current church that they're attending. Perhaps it's not as friendly, not as outgoing as they used to be. So perhaps they've gone a little bit too far on the left in certain aspects. And then they're not thinking in that way. Perhaps maybe they feel like that their denomination is leaving them or leaving the Word of God. And of course, we focus on the Word of God. And so that would be another good thing. Someone who lacks purpose or is just plain bored. You know, I like that. Because one of the things that I was studying before preparing the lesson for this morning is that one of the reasons why people do such terrible things is they lack purpose. They don't feel like they fit anywhere in society. And so they feel like, well, I'm just going to lash out. Well, the church is one of those things. In fact, this book that I had read, written by a non-Christian, I don't even think he pretends to be one. One of the sections in his book, Can God the Father Replace the Father in the Home? Giving them purpose. And he came to a positive answer. He said yes. And so that's one of the things we can provide is a home for and a purpose for people in the community. People who are friends and family who aren't Christians. For those who might be parents, if you have kids and they have friends, then you might get them together for a play date or something, and or some other school activity or something, and you meet the parents, and you know, you have some chance to talk with them while the kids are playing. That's another thing. And then we have some people in rest homes and hospitals. We just baptized Mr. Pritchard a few weeks ago, and so that is another place where we can find prospects. You see, if we have a relationship with people, that will often help with talking with them. And one of the things that we note in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52 is that Jesus grew in favor not only with God, but with man. And then we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, we love focusing on the section that says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved, and that's a great section. But before that, it says, praising God and having favor with all men. So, I mean, we're not supposed to be people pleasers to the extent where we're taking from the Word of God or taking away from things like that, but we've got to be pleasing to all men. We've got to gain their favor in some way. Be friends with them. Help them out when they need it. Just be friends. And that is, you know, I had a friend in Florida, and I was, you know, a woman, but I wasn't interested in her in that way. But, you know, she asked me why I was helping her do things, why I was being so kind and whatnot. It's like, I'm just being a friend. That's all. And so that's sometimes just what people need. And that will help them, help you, be able to open the door and have a conversation with them later on as well. All right, so the next question, how should I talk with them? How should I talk with them? Well, the first thing is naturally. people usually have a built-in detector when you're trying to sell them something. And so what we've got to try to do is talk with them in a natural sort of way. When I was a kid, and I wish I might be able to search for them if I tried, but when I was a kid, and the school pictures were being done. When I was real little, younger than Julian anyway, I noticed that my smile looked fake as can be. It's like, man, I look terrible. What is wrong with this picture? And that happened for several years. And then I realized I don't look that way in pictures when I'm actually smiling. And so I realized it's not a natural smile. I'm faking it. And it's very obvious that I'm faking it. So I would practice in a mirror my natural smile in order to try to be able to do it on command for the camera for school picture day. It is not a fun day, school picture day. So it's one of those things where, you know, you're standing in line waiting for your picture to be taken, and it's in the gym, and I don't know if they still do it this way. They probably do. But you're in the gym, and sometimes it's hot. Man, let me tell you, senior pictures was very hot that day. But anyway, I had to practice in the mirror for that. And what I did was I would just look in the mirror, and I would pretend to laugh or think of something funny and laugh. And then I would freeze it right there, try to remember what that felt like so I could recreate it later on. And you know, it sounds fake, and maybe it is, but that's the kind of thing we've got to do sometimes, is practice with people. We can try to make things sound as naturally as possible in order to get people to possibly open up and talk about these things. Now, sometimes they expect that from people. They kind of expect that from the preacher. So I have a bit of an advantage on that, because they kind of expect, oh, okay, he's going to try to get me to be a Christian. And so yeah, of course. But with the general person, that's not as expected. One of the things I've noted is that we've got to be able to direct the conversation. One of the things that I see is that very often there's an organic flow to a conversation. People start talking about something, and then it goes into something else, and it goes into something else, and it goes into something else. And that's a general natural flow of how conversations work. But you have more agency in a conversation than you might think. We've got to be able sometimes to ask open questions while rarely answering any questions. And that is probably the most difficult thing for us. Because especially if we know exactly why we don't use musical instruments, we want to show them book, chapter, and verse. Here's why. But, in fact, I have a slide on that in a second. So I'll get to that in a second. But before, one of the questions that I often ask is, where do you worship, to start off with? Now, that's a question you can use if you want. I am giving it to you for free, no cost. But if you have other ideas for how to start this kind of conversation, then that's certainly a possibility. The answer to this question doesn't matter. I mean, you might think it matters, but really, it doesn't. There are two possibilities, unless, of course, they say a Church of Christ, and then it matters. But if they say something else, or they might say something like somewhere or nowhere. And so you have a possibility for where to go after that. If they say somewhere, I go to church, to this place, I worship this place, I guess I went with the other one in the PowerPoint. If they say nowhere, then you might be able to ask a question like, well, okay, what are your thoughts on God? You know, don't ask a closed question. Don't say, do you believe God exists? But what are your thoughts on God? perhaps, what are your thoughts on the Bible? And any one of these questions would be fine. What are your thoughts on the Bible? What do you think about it? And then another possible question, what do you think about Jesus? What do you think about him? And so these are good questions that you can talk about someone. And quite frankly, you could probably ask this about somebody who's in a particular denomination too. Because some people have some odd answers when it comes to the Bible. They don't think that the Bible is necessarily God's word. They don't believe that, some of them don't believe that Jesus is God. And so there are some questions that you might be able to ask this anyway. Another one that I like to use is if they go somewhere, especially with one Bible, why do you think there are so many denominations out there teaching and believing different things? And that's a good question. I might come up with something, some answer. And then a follow-up. Do you think God is pleased with that? Do you think God is pleased with all the religious division that there is? Well, again, you have the natural flow of conversation. You have this desire to get them into the study. And so as the conversation progresses, ultimately, you want to ask the question, would you like to have a study on that? The reason you don't want to answer all of their questions is because at this point, their curiosity is up. You have encouraged their curiosity. You have fed into it a little bit. Oh, I hadn't really thought about that. Oh, here's this. And so maybe they'll ask you what you think about these things. And so you'll say, oh, that's very interesting. Would you like to have a study on that? One thing I want to try to emphasize is to let them talk while talking as little as possible. James 1:19 says that we ought to be slow to speak, quick to hear. Well, and slow to anger as well, but that's not relevant for this discussion. Quick to hear, slow to speak. Think about what they're saying. Don't necessarily answer them right away. Now, that doesn't mean you're lying or anything. It means you are deferring those questions until the study. One of the things Dan said a while back, he might not even remember he said it, I don't know, is that we like to show people, not tell people. And that's exactly right. We want to be able to show people in the scripture the truth of a matter, rather than just telling them. That's a great attitude to have. You see, we are fishing. We are not force feeding. We are fishing. We are not force feeding. We don't want to talk somebody's ear off, because if we do that, then will they want to have a study with us later? Maybe they will. I don't know. There are certain people that will. But generally speaking, their curiosity is up and they're interested. All right. You're not there to teach them or preach them in that moment, but to gain their interest in the study. The thing about questions that they might ask, and I think I hinted at this one earlier, one of the questions they might ask, especially if they've visited with us at some point, why don't you use musical instruments in worship? Well, first off, that's not the right question. That is the wrong question. That is not a question that they should ask if they have a good understanding of Scripture. So what we need to do is help them to understand the right question. And the right question is, does the New Testament authorize using new instruments in worship? That is the right question. But you see, they're not ready to hear that yet. They're not really ready to hear the answer. And John chapter 16 and verse 12 gives us that principle. There are so many things I wanted to tell you, but you are not ready to hear it. That's what Jesus tells his disciples in that particular point. So we are wanting to get them into that study. Always try as best as you can to defer until the study. Now, some people might note that, well, Stephen, you don't always do that. You're right, I don't. I fail sometimes. And part of that is because I'm trying to get them into the study, and they're insistent, and they seem less interested. And so really it's a judgment call on how to approach that. But that is a general rule. Do not always answer their questions. There's something about having a Bible open in front of somebody when they're reading it for themselves that will convince people more than anything you might say. Amen. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. If you do answer them outright, well, then it becomes you versus what they know, or what they think they know, or what they've been taught. And nobody wins that discussion. And their curiosity lessens along with their interest. So here are some possible questions. If you have this question pop up, if somebody asks you this question, well, or any kind of question, really, that's an interesting question. Would you like to have a study on that? And then here's another one that I have up here. And now this is one of those incendiary kind, where someone is probably very angry with you at this point, and they might ask, do you think you're the only ones going to heaven? I've got that a few times. I might have asked that when I was in these kind of studies also. Well, again, that's not the right question, is it? The question is, who goes to heaven? And so, same answer. That's an interesting question. Would you like to have a study on that? So that is a closed-ended question. And so at some point you do have to in order to get a study with somebody. But generally speaking, an open-ended question, open-ended questions are the kind of questions you want to ask. All right. Now, when you set up the study, as I said, this is your goal during the course of this conversation. Now, for some of these people, one of the questions I asked is, where do you worship? For some of these people, you know exactly where they worship. So you'll have to come up with something else. Like, so what's going on at church these days? Or how is your spiritual life? Have you been attending such and such place for a while? Or what have they been doing lately? Or, you know, something to that effect. Trying to naturally get into that kind of discussion. But your goal ultimately will be to get into the study. Your goal is not to answer their questions right away anyway. Your goal is not to get them into the water right away yet. Your goal is to set up an appointment for a Bible study in that conversation. Your goal later is to get them into the water as you go through the study. But at that moment, you want to have them open God's Word first. There's in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says that, 19 I think, go therefore and teach or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So I think the King James says teach instead of make disciples. So there is a pattern that we see in Matthew 28:19. Teach, baptize, teach. Make disciples. Teach them what they need to do to become a disciple. Baptize them. And then continue to teach them everything that God has said. So that is the pattern that we ought to follow, I think, as well, in teaching people the gospel. All right. Now, the next question is where to have the Bible study? Because as you're setting this up, you need to know where you're going to have it. You want to set up a date, a time. Well, of course, the date is going to depend on whatever is available for everybody concerned. But the place is the next question. The places to have the study, Well, one place is your own home. Your own home is a great place to have that. Possibly, I've not been to everybody's house yet, but for a lot of people, their home is a great place. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, the writer says that people have entertained angels unaware through their hospitality. And so that is another thing that we ought to do. Open up our home. If you open up your home to somebody, it shows you are friendly and an open book, and they are more likely to trust you. Now, there are advantages and disadvantages to each of these settings, but that is one of the advantages of having it in your home, is because they're much more likely to trust you because you've opened yourself up to them. Another possibility, that's out of the question. There are different reasons why that might be out of the question. Perhaps their own home would be a good possibility. This has the advantage of helping them to feel more comfortable in their own surroundings. Because they feel, like, you know, there's my bathroom, I can use my bathroom, there's this, there's that, and whatnot. So having it in their home is another good place. But, of course, you've got to be respectful of their own house, of their things, and that's understandable. You could potentially do it in somebody else's house. I know in some congregations there are some people who don't feel like they can set up a Bible study very easily. But for those who can, then maybe they can open up their house for them to be able to have the study. Sam has offered, since our house isn't really set up very much for entertaining, Sam has offered that if we have a Bible study that we want to have with somebody, that we can have it at his house. I hope I'm not overstepping. and so if you have that particular situation, then you can open up your home for that kind of thing. And that's great too. Of course, make sure you have their permission first. and some are great at, not good at studies, but are great at hospitality. I know Sam is great at studies too, but you know, we've got a multi-prong approach on this, right? You might be able to make a general offer if anyone wants. They can have a study at your house. You see, that's another good thing, because then they get to meet people of the church. And they get to see, oh, these people are so very nice to me, and they haven't even met me before. So that's another possibility. Another possibility is right here at the church building. This has the advantage of letting them know where the building is. So if they do decide to worship with us, if they haven't already, then they know where it is and they can come worship with us. I may be here and to be on hand if you need any help, if you have any questions, might be able to help you with that. And this is especially good for the last study. If you're up to that point and you have the last study talking about what one needs to do to be saved, then the baptistry is right here. And you know, they don't have much opportunity to change their mind if they want to be baptized and obey the gospel. So there's that as well. And you must decide which option is the best for you in your situation. Another thing I want to point out, and this will be more, I want to talk about this more later. Make sure you have someone to accompany you in the study. That is so very important. There needs to be two people, two Christians in the study. A leader of the study and what I call the second. And when I was in preaching school, they called it the silent partner. It's whoever is there. And that second, sometimes it feels like that second is useless because they don't say a whole lot. But I can't stress to you how important that person is. There's a reason why in Luke chapter 10 and verse 1, the Lord sent the disciples out two by two. There's a reason for that. You get that strength and you get that encouragement. If you're the leader, you get that strength and encouragement from the individual who is with you. At the same time, if you happen to get stuck in something and you can't quite answer that if you don't think you're answering that in the best way, you can say, "So, what do you think?" to the second, or perhaps he or she could answer that question as well, perhaps better than you could. So there's an important part. That's an important part of having a study. Again, we'll talk more about that later. but make sure that whoever you get as a second can meet with you and take care of that, and you can meet upon the agreed upon time. All right, in conclusion, congratulations, you have set up a Bible study. Now what? Well, that's the topic for next time. Remember, set up a prospect list. Be diligent to pursue those on that list. Pray about those on that prospect list. If you do have a prospect list that you think would be better pursued by somebody else, that such as myself or one of the elders, then you may pass those names off to us and we'll look into that. Remember to talk naturally yet purposefully. Try your best to direct the conversation to spiritual matters. Make sure you ask open-ended questions, letting them do most of the talking. And then do your best to guide that conversation to a study. Remember to set a specific date, time, and place for the study. I mentioned those four possibilities: your house, their house, somebody else's house, the church building. Some people say a restaurant is good. I recommend against it. I actually have had a study with someone at a restaurant and actually ended with him being baptized, but that's, I think, an exception to the rule. Generally speaking, restaurants can get too noisy and too distracting for that kind of thing. So I recommend against that. And make sure that you find a second, someone to help you out during the study. All this is for the glory of God, Amen. Saving men's souls. And the thing is, this is all worthless to you unless you're a Christian. And so, I believe that many of us have already obeyed that gospel. But if you haven't, you have that chance to do so this evening. We've talked about how to get into a study with somebody, but for some of us, we need to make that first step and to be baptized for the remission of our sins, to make sure that we are Christians ourselves. And if we are not right with God, if we already are a Christian and we're not right with God, I implore you, get right with Him today. Obey Him and make things right. If you have a need, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.